Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
One thing that has been brought up lately and should make us ponder in our minds is a problem of absent fathers. Absent fathers in the home. Absent fathers out of the home. Whether because they've been abandoned by their families, or because they abandoned their families, or because they spend so much time away from their families, never home. One of the leading greeting cards company decided to do something good. Not that they didn't do anything good, but they decided to do something special for Mother's Day. So they went to a prison full of men, and they set up some tables with hundreds and hundreds of greeting cards for mothers. They ran out of cards. All of these men were standing in line to go fill out a card for their moms. They had to go get more. And because of this great success, they decided, let's do the same thing for Father's Day, but this time, not one prisoner felt the need to send a card to their dad. In fact, when they were asked about it, many of them said, I don't even know who my father is. Never met the man. It is sad. But you know what? We can't just think that because of that big problem we have. When we, in a society where more than half of children are growing up without a father or being raised by a single mother or single parent. See, we cannot just say that it's all bad either, because there are fathers out there that are really good. There are true fathers out there also. And just because Father's Day is a month later after Mother's Day doesn't mean it's less important, right? Now, let me give you a little fact here. Mother's Day. It was first celebrated in 1907. And it was actually made a holiday in 1914. 7 years after it was first celebrated, boom, becomes a federal holiday. Father's Day. 1910. Just 3 years after the first celebration of Mother's Day. Yet, it took 62 years to make it a federal holiday. It wasn't until 1972 when President Nixon signed a proclamation to make Father's Day an actual holiday. No wonder fathers are always a little behind. At least that's what mothers say, right? We were behind for like buku years, right? But dads, you're also important. I want you to know that. Think about how you felt about your dad when you were young. Or think about how kids feel about you if you're a dad. At 4 years old, my daddy can do anything. At seven, my dad knows a lot. I mean, a whole lot. At eight, my father doesn't know quite everything, right? But at 12, oh well, naturally, a father doesn't know everything. At 14, father, hopelessly old-fashioned. At age 21, oh, that man is out of date. What do you expect? At 25, he knows a little bit about it, but not much. At 35, you know what? It might just be good to find out what dad thinks about it. At 40, well, a little patience. Let's hear what daddy has to say about that. At 50, I wonder what dad would have thought about that. At 60, you know, my dad really knew everything. And after that, you know, I wish I could talk it over with my dad once more. Is that the story of our lives? See, I like to think that fathers do so many things. But there's one thing that they do. And it starts with the word, with the letter W. Work. Right? How many of you like work? Well, good. Raul likes work. Everybody else, we're on the burner of the camp, Raul. I'm sorry. Ray goes, meh. Like work? Meh. Right? How many of you like working hard? Maybe you do, but that doesn't mean you like it. How many of you actually like working long hours? Well, there are some people out there that seem to enjoy it too much. But then let me ask you something. Why do you do it? Why do you work? Maybe we don't like work, but there are so many things that we like, that we long for, things that we believe in, things that we want to achieve that drive us to work and sometimes to work ourselves to death, especially fathers. Seems like most fathers actually work really hard. But where does that come from? Where does that drive to work come from? Well, maybe it's child support. Well, maybe it's just a work ethic that drives you to say being responsible. Maybe it's just the fact that you know that you were designed to do it and do it right. But what about if we start working wiser and smarter instead of working harder? So let me talk to you about a wise working father. And I want to start by just going to Genesis in chapter 1. I want you to look in Genesis chapter 1, just the first verse for a second. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want you to think about that, just that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's a lot of work right there. Creating the heavens and the earth. Everything, that's a lot of work right there. Some of us work as if we were trying to gain the whole world and the whole earth and the heavens and everything else. But if you look at God all the way through Genesis 1, it says that on the first day he did that, on the second day he did the other, and the third day he did that, and the fourth day he went at it, and the fifth day he went at it, the sixth day he went at it. I mean, he worked a full week. And it was full, all right. So what about that? Who was the first one to actually, the first father to work on earth? It wasn't Adam. It was actually God. God sets an example. The first father to ever work on earth was God himself. Think about that for a second. You see, it wasn't Adam. Adam hadn't even been created if it wasn't for God's work, his handiwork. 6 days, then he rested. So if God, and I want you to look at what God does, because God, at the end of it all, when he creates everything, he says, and it was all very good. After each day of creation, it says, good, 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 good. And then at the end, he says, very good, when he created Adam and Eve. So if you look at this here for a second, if God is good, then work is inherently good, because God is a working God. Working is okay. So, Dad, when you get up in the morning to earn a living for your family, when you leave the door every morning to go to work, I want you to think you're just doing what you have been designed to do. You're following in your master's footsteps. You're following in your creator's footsteps. And you might be following in your father's footsteps too. So it was God. But then I want you to think about the progression here, because God then commands Adam and Eve. What was the first command that God, the first command that God gave to Adam and Eve was not to work, actually. It was to become what? Parents. That was the first thing. He creates them, and after he creates them, if you look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now, he did tell them to work, but the first command is to become parents. But I think we all agree that while God says, be fruitful and multiply, become parents, that's the first command. This first command then entails something. It drags something else with it. And that is the rest of the verse when it says, you know what? Work. You got to keep this thing going. You got to help out. Multiply is not just going to be about procreating, but it's a lot heavier responsibility than just giving someone a last name. You work for them. You work for their being, for their well-being. See, being fruitful and multiply then implies that it does require much work. A lot of work follows. Being fruitful and multiply. Fill your house. Fill the earth. Make others like you. Reproduce yourselves. Now, reproducing yourselves, of course, I want you to think that it's not just about having children, but raising children. It takes work. It takes work outside of the home, and it takes work at home. It takes work from mom and from dad, too. You see, I want you to think about this, because the first thing that God says there, when he gives him the command in verse 28, he says, God bless them. You see, in verse 20, he says, God bless them. And said to them, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth and take care of it. See, so he says, I will bless you. I am blessing you. So have children and work. Work is a blessing. Having children is a blessing. In Psalm 127, the psalmist says that the children are a heritage from the Lord. They're a reward from God. Blessed is the man who has children. Blessed. It is a blessing. You know, sometimes, like I've said before, sometimes, you know, children are a blessing, even though sometimes we may think, really? As parents, really? Ugh, right? But they are. See, if you multiply, you have to go to work to take care of your children, right? Simple. As a man, I want to ask the man, and if the man agree with me, I want you to say amen, but I want to be able to hear you. When the thought of having children came to your mind for the first time, or if you're a father, when you were given the warning, well, not the warning, the news, that you were going to be a father, or even if you don't have children yet, if I tell you, hey, what about being a dad? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Okay. If you're a woman, probably the first thing that comes to mind, oh, my God, holding that little bundle of joy. Oh, my God, to be able to nurse him and to raise him and to kiss him and love him. Oh, my God. Right? That's a woman. A man, you tell him, you're fixing to be a dad. Ooh, I got to go back to work. How many of you say amen? Right? It's the first thing you think. Now I got to work harder because I got another mouth to feed. That's what you think first. Responsibility for this child. And mama's like, oh, don't you want to hold him? No, I got to go to work. Somebody's got to feed him. Somebody's got to put a roof over the head. And that's natural for us. That's natural, and that's okay. There's no problem with that. I got to go to work for that child. And that's a quality of a smart father, actually, a wise father, to be able to say, you know what? Responsibility. The first thing that comes to mind, I'm having a child. That means I have to support this child. And if you don't believe me, look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Chapter 2 and verse 15 says, then the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. Basically, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you children, so I'm going to put you to work. So you got to take care of these children. You cultivate the land. You work on the land. Cultivate means to foster growth and to improve something. It means to preserve, to make sure that it doesn't fail or decline. It's to, and it says to subdue the land. It means to exercise control and discipline. Fathers and mothers, we have a good and great and big responsibility. Ruling over the earth. This means to administer, to take responsibility, and to make decisions for it. Not just working to support your families as a task that only involves money. No, Dad. You're supposed to also be there to instruct, to lead, to protect, to guide, and to love. I want you to think about this. Laura just read from the Lord's Prayer, just a little piece where it says, "Our Father who is in heaven." This same Father who is in heaven is described by John the Apostle as love. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a mushy, loving father. You don't have to be the strong, the pillar, and all that. You can also cry, Dad. You can also be mushy. You can also hug. You can also love. You can also kiss. You can also be silly with your children. It's okay. That's part of it. That's part of nurturing and keeping and preserving and helping. You're supposed to be there, spending time with them. Spending time with your children is time never wasted. Actually, Charles Francis Adams, he's the son of President John Quincy Adams, who in turn, and he was also the grandson of President John Adams. What a line. He kept a diary. And one day in his diary, he wrote the following words. "Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted." This diary actually is in a museum and is kept. But you know what? Charles Francis Adams didn't realize that his own son, Brooke Adams, the one whom he took fishing, also kept a diary. And that diary is also kept in the same museum. It's still in existence. And Brooke Adams made this entry on the same day. "Went fishing with my father. The most wonderful day of my life." Perspective. Time spent with your children, fathers, is not wasted time. It could be the most wonderful day of their lives. Remember that. While the father thought he was wasting time by just going out there and fishing for nothing, his son thought it was the most wonderful investment his father had made. You show them the way. You lead them. You instruct them. You discipline them. You support them. But you also love on them. You see, they will obey you. They will. I mean, most fathers know the children will obey at least once a year on Father's Day. Oh, they will obey. Because most likely, as a father, you tell them, "You don't have to spend a lot of money on me for Father's Day," and they obey, don't they? Can I get an amen? Right? No, they will obey on Father's Day. Nice socks and underwear. Handkerchiefs, which nobody uses. A tie, which you never wear, Ed. Neither do I. I got a collection of ties, and people still give me ties, and I look at them like, I think I may need to wear it just so that they can see it at least once. And then I forget. I'm sorry. But you know, I want you to think about this. The day you pass on, I hope that your children have much more to say than that you gave them everything and that you work 24/7. Can you imagine that? You die and your children get together and say, "Well, what can we say about our father? Well, he worked really hard. He gave us everything he could." What else? That's pretty much it. What a legacy. Work like a mule and dress like Santa Claus. That's pretty much it. No. I hope there's much more than that. As a father, your primary responsibility, of course, is the well-being of your family by providing for them. But you got to understand that working for your family does not entail killing yourself for your family. You provide for them as God provides to you for them. And you know what? Yeah, you need to be a wise working man. Because it says a lot about you. Work says a lot about you. I want you to think about that. Your work reveals your character, Dad. Your work reveals your character. And I think dads understand this more than anybody else. I want you to think about this. In Psalm 19 and verse 1, it says that God is revealed by his works. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. The work of God, what he has done, talks about him, gives him glory, gives him honor, shows who he is. Right? You see, work reveals something about the one doing the work. And here I am making all these noises, which I don't know where they're coming from, so stop. But work says a lot about you. But it's not just your job that says something about you. It's how you do your job. You see, work reveals something about the one doing the work. It exposes the underlying characteristics, the motivations, the skills, the abilities, and the personality traits of the person. Now, I wonder why. Women get together in a group, and they start talking about life. What's the first thing they talk about? Relationships. Are you married? Right? That's what women talk about. Ooh, no, I'm engaged. They show you their ring, and they get all excited. You got any children? Oh, yeah, I'm married. I got children. How many? Oh, my God. Are boys or girls? And they talk about all that. That gives them worth and meaning, and that gives them significance and makes them feel good because it talks about them. Guys get together. What's the first thing that guys ask? So what do you do for a living, Danny? What about you, Ray? What about you, Ro? Hey, Marco, where do you work at? What is it that you do, AJ? That's the kind of stuff we talk about. Then later on, we're like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm married. Yeah, I got children. But we talk about work. Can I get an amen, or am I telling, right? It's because it gives us significance. That's how we relate. You see, and it's okay to do that. That doesn't mean that our families are not important in our lives, you know. You got to take into consideration the quality of your work because we're proud of our work, whatever it is that we do. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. It says, God saw all that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. After a full week's of work, God looks back and says, that was good. I did good. I worked hard. I worked smart. I worked whatever. So what is the reward of honest, good work? Is it just the paycheck? No. It is the honor and satisfaction that comes from a job well done. And men especially kind of thrive in that. That doesn't mean that women don't feel great when they work 5-6 days a week and they get their paycheck, or they feel good about themselves about what they do. But men have this little thing, right? See, this is why we need to be responsible and not slack when it comes to our work. Proverbs 18:9 says, he also who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. So if you're not hardworking, or at least wise working, let's just say, you could be destroying and killing some stuff, or at least damaging some things in your life and the life of your family. You remember that. It's not about what you do for a living. It's about how you do what you do for a living. Good, honest work. That's how your work reveals your character. So be wise, be smart about the way you carry yourself at work, Dad, and at home too. Don't just be a hard-working father. Be a wise working father. But let me continue, you see, because God wants to bless your work. God wants to bless your work, but we kind of messed it up, right? We've kind of messed it up. Work is good because God does work, and God said so. See, if work is good, then why do fathers have to work so hard? Why is it so difficult? Well, let me give you the next point. Man sinned, God cursed the ground, and work became hard. Simple as that. You see the progression there? Man sinned, God cursed the ground, and work became hard. If you look at Genesis chapter 3 and verses 17, the second part of verse 17 is starting. It says, then to Adam, he says, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. Don't listen to your wives! Okay. And have eaten from the tree about which I command you, saying, you shall not eat from it. I'm sorry, that just came out. Right? But that's another topic for another day. This is what God did. Because Adam sinned, then God says, cursed is the ground because of you. Not because of Eve, okay? Because of you. All right? In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. And you will eat the plants of the field, and by the sweat of your face you will eat bread. And then you'll die. So basically God is saying, because you have sinned, you'll work very hard, and then you die. Man, that's not good. Now I want you to think about this, because when God decided that Adam and Eve's sin needed to be having consequences, he gave women birth pains, right? You will have pain. And not only you'll have pain, you'll have problems with your husband. We'll talk about that another day too. You will have problems with your husband. That was it. That's your consequences. And then he tells the man, and you will also have pains. You will also be in sorrow. And you will work sorrowfully. Now, let me just say something about this. Sin came in, and God cursed the ground. Work becomes difficult, right? We just sometimes don't get it, guys. We got to be careful, and we still mess it up. Over in Houston, the Houston Chronicle reported a story about Mother's Day. And there's a man named Jerry Maltz. And he made a great mistake on Mother's Day. He gave his wife an iron. An iron. You see, when you sin, sin has consequences. I think giving your wife or the mother of your children an iron is a sin. And there will be consequences for it. Because you see, this man gave his wife an iron. And guess what he got for Father's Day? An ironing board. You see that? Guess who's ironing now? Your sin has consequences, is what I'm trying to say. You see, the word toil that is used here in the Hebrew implies that there is a challenge, there's a difficulty, exhaustion, there's sorrow. It's actually the word sorrow. It's pain. It's anguish. You see, work itself is good, but man must expect it to be accomplished through sweat and thorns and thistles. So the result of your work is not always going to be positive, my man. It says, you will eat from the field. I mean, you will make it, but the field will produce pain and sorrow and difficulty. But one thing's for sure, you will die. But that's not the problem. Well, that's the problem. But let's just not leave it there, because God promises rest also. God will also give rest to the weary. There will be a day of rest when he comes. Amen? Jesus said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and who are weary, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11. And also, you see, one day all things will be made new in Christ, and the sorrow and pain of our work will also be done and gone forevermore. But you have to be willing to come to him. See, and I want you to realize, I know I'm talking a lot about work, and that's not probably what dads want to hear on Father's Day. But you know, life is not all about work, Dad. It's not all about work, anyway. See, because when you think about it, the Bible says you work, 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 and at the end, for nothing. This is the wisest man mentioned in the Bible, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. I want us to read this. It says, I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. This is man. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I brought male and female slaves, and I had homeborn slaves. I also possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and treasures of kings and provinces. I provided myself male and female singers and the pleasure of men, many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes desired, and I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because all of my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Now check this out. This is considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. Did you hear that? Did you see that? Oh, my God. He had all the houses, all the gardens, all the ponds. You know, he had where to go fishing. He had where to go please himself and do whatever he wanted in life. He gave himself everything and to every single pleasure you can think of. Silver and gold, he had so much. I mean, he had it all. And at the end, he himself says, you know what? And it was all in vain. It was vanity. You know what the word vanity means? The word in Hebrew is actually smoke. What happens to smoke? Have you ever tried to catch smoke, follow smoke, or vapor? Have you ever tried to contain a vapor and keep it for yourself? All that, no profit, vanity, like striving after the wind, he says. And I know that one of the things we like to do on Father's Day is eat, especially eat out. And we men don't need a restaurant. All we need is a big grill and a bag of charcoal. Of course, there got to be some meat or something. Right, that's all we need. Or take me out to a good steakhouse, because we're eating some cow. We're getting some meat going. See, the smell of burning, isn't it great? I mean, when your neighbor's grilling out, and you're like, ooh, do we have anything in that fridge we can burn or something? And I get the feeling every time one of my neighbors starts grilling, I want to grill too. Does that happen to you? Oh, my God. You see, you want to go after that smoke and you want to contain it. Now, you might like the smell of the grill, but one thing you don't do is go chasing after the smoke of the grill. You go chasing after the grill itself. Because chasing after the smoke will be futile, will be foolish, will be pointless, right? Solomon says that all that hard work to acquire all of that, to have so many employees in his company, to have a fishing boat, to have a garden, to have a big land, to have all this stuff, to have all the pleasures, it's like smoke coming out of the grill, Dad. That's all there is. So don't work so hard for all that smoke, for all that vapor. Don't kill yourself chasing after the wind. Because you know what? You'll never catch it. It's not all about work. Instead, trust God for his provision. And know when enough is enough. God will provide. How many of you say amen? God always provides when you trust him. So just do something. Be prayerful and thankful about your work, Dad. Whatever it is that you do,
Whatever God allows you to do, be prayerful and be thankful about it. When I mean be prayerful, that means that you keep your work, you keep your job, you keep your skills, you keep your abilities, you keep what you do in prayer for God's leading. You want Him to lead you. You want Him to help you. And this is not only for men. This is for all of us. Keep your work in prayer and be thankful for it. Look at Proverbs 16:3. It says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Now think about this for a second before you pull it out of the screen. I want you to think about it. It says, commit your work, your work, your work. You commit it to God. That means, okay, hold on one second. Don't leave me here yet. If you're an employee, you commit your work to your boss or to the company. But you don't, the plans are not established by you. You commit your work, and it says, and your plans will be established. By whom? By the boss. By God. You work it as God establishes plans for you. This means that fathers need to depend on God for their work. This means that you have to have faith in God that He has a plan for you. This means that you commit your work to Him and He establishes your plan. If fathers depend on God for their work, then they don't have to work so hard, right? When you depend on God for your provision, then you don't have to work so hard in providing. You just need to be smarter and wiser. Being wise about your work decisions means that you can trust Him more than you can trust your boss. Some people are more fearful of their bosses at work than at God. Some people, not all, but I want you to know, your boss can fire you, but your Father in heaven will never do that. But fearfully work smart and wise in faith towards God. Look, in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 17, this is how you do over your work. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Pray for your job. Pray for what you're going to decide to do, your decisions at work. Don't be so worried about your boss and be worried about what God wants to do. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 25 and 26, for this reason I say to you, said Jesus, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they, Dad? See, take it personal. God provides. He will provide. You see, you pray, He provides. And if He does provide like He promises, then be thankful. Colossians 3:17 says, be thankful for your work. You see, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving Him thanks through Him to God the Father. Be thankful for what you're able to do. And don't be, of course, irresponsible or slacking. You got to be diligent. Don't just sit back, arms crossed, right? That doesn't mean that, okay, I trust God, so I don't do anything. No. You got to be diligent about your work, Dad. Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent will rule while the slothful will be put to forced labor. You see, the slothful will be put to forced labor. Basically what it's saying is, the old saying in Spanish is, el vago trabaja doble. I'll say it in English if I can. The lazy one will work twice as hard. If you're lazy, you're going to work twice as hard. I saw a video of a young man doing what I do. Not preaching, but going to the market and buying groceries. I do that a lot. Part of my daily or weekly routine. And then what I do when I get home is I open the back of the trunk of the car and I grab as many bags as I can. Because I only want to make one trip. And then I trip. Has that ever happened to you? Guys go like, yeah. Women are like, no. We just grab one little bag, the one with the toilet paper, and wait for him to grab everything else. You see David Rodriguez with a case of water. and all the bags stacked up over here, and another bag hanging from my fingers up here. Right? And then I drop something. Ah! I got to go back and make a second trip. Right? I know we've all done that. Because the lazy one will work twice as hard. You just got to be smart. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. It says that if you don't provide for his own, you know, the man that doesn't provide for his own, especially for those in his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. See, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10 says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. So work is necessary, but you got to enjoy it. Be diligent about it. And also enjoy the fruit of your labor, last but not least. Enjoy it. You see, life is not just about work, and that's it, Dad. You have to also enjoy it. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I know I'm giving you a whole bunch of verses from the Bible. We've covered half the Bible today, right? So don't complain. This is good. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 13. It tells us to enjoy the fruit of our labor. It says, moreover, than every man who eats and drinks, sees good in all of his labor, it is the gift of God. God gifts to you enjoying what you have worked for. And once again, the word toil there, you know, sorrows. I'm trading my sorrows for the joy of the Lord. We're working hard and enjoying the fruit of our labor. I want you to think about that. Because look at what God said in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God, look at this, blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. God set a pattern. You work, and you work smart. You work wise. You work hard. But take a day off. Take it easy, Dad. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. Enjoy it with your family. Spend time with them. God has sanctified, God separated for you to have rest like he did. God blessed the seventh day. God blesses the day you take off. Some of us at times, and I've done this before, now I left that a long time ago. Thank God Jesus took that and peeled it right off of my life. But I used to think that being at home and resting and doing nothing, being idle, that was wrong. And I needed to stay busy. Not anymore. Jesus took that away, praise the Lord. Yeah, I used to want to work 7 days a week and just kept going and going and going and going nonstop. Why? Didn't take me anywhere, I'll tell you that. Let's just finish up. John 6, verse 27. I'm just going to read 27, then we'll read 28 a little by the end. It says, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. You see, there are things that are more important than just working for physical and material things in this life. There is something else. There's eternal stuff. You see, God expects you to give it all. When you take care of your family, when you work, Dad. But more than that, God expects you to give your whole self for the sake of eternal life with him. That's more important. How do I know that? Look at verses 28 and 29 as we close. Therefore, they said to him, after Jesus said this, Jesus said, you know what? Don't work so hard for the perishable things. Work for the things that are eternal. And here they say, well, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Now, you think that Jesus will assign them a bunch of tasks or in a list of to-do, a to-do list, you know? But Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent me. You see, the best work you can perform is the work of faith, believing God, my man. Believing God, surrendering to Christ. If you want to leave a legacy to your children, somebody said that to me this morning, and I actually told them, well, I already have it on my notes, brother. The greatest legacy you can leave your children that truly lasts is leave them your faith in Christ.
That is the one job God will reward you for eternally. Because God wants you to really, really enjoy the fruit of your labor eternally with Him. So if you're going to work smart, if you're going to be wise about your work, and you're going to work hard, work on your relationship with God. For it's the only work that actually leads to true rest.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.